Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is from Romans chapter 3. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to start with just a little historical background. In Germany in the 16th century, Duke Frederick the Wise of Saxony had an expansive collection of church relics. An inventory in 1518 listed 17,443 relics, to be exact. Annually, on All Saints' Day, November 1st, he would put some of them on display at the Castle Church in Wittenberg, and people would pay an entrance fee, hoping, by proper veneration of the relics, to earn up to 2 million years off their time in purgatory after death. This tied in with the flourishing trade with the alleged merits of the church saints in the sale of indulgences. Both practices led people to believe that they no longer needed to repent of their sins. They would go to the priest, including Luther, expecting to be absolved of their sins upon presentation of their writ of indulgence. Forgive me. That led Luther to write the 95 Theses and in October of 1517 and mail them to the Archbishop of Mons, who shouldn't have been an Archbishop of Mons, but he was buying it with the sum of the money from the sale of the indulgences in his territory because he was also the archbishop of another territory. And so on the eve of All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, Luther posts the 95 Theses on the castle church door at Wittenberg. There they would have been read. And following day, the professors and students as an invitation for academic debate. What happens is there's another German in the area before Luther, just a little bit before, who had invented movable type, the printing press. And somebody translates Luther's 95 Theses into German, and off it goes. Now, the selling of indulgences was something that we thought was long past us. But it's not. You can go buy one today at Holy Hill if you'd like. They only forgive one sin a day, though. They're not as powerful as the ones sold by Tetzel that would forgive you of all your sins for all time, period. Modesty. I have a book in my office that when everybody says, I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about indulgence in the Catholic Church, I just pull it out and show it to them. Here's 100 pages of things if you do will get you a half a sin, a quarter sin, three quarters a sin, or a full sin off a day. Now, today we celebrate the Reformation. And it's not that we celebrate that other churches are wrong, but that the gospel was rediscovered. It just is a matter of how far you want to go from the gospel. It's really that simple. Today we celebrate, and those outside Lutheran circles often don't understand or don't care about what we're doing. And as you know, it began with this Augustinian monk, this theology professor, this Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, calling into question the selling of indulgences, that is, the selling of the extra merits of the saints to buy God's grace, gifted righteousness at Christ's expense, acronym for grace, forgiveness and favor. Which you and I know because we have read our Bibles a little bit, at least, I hope, that St. Paul teaches that we are not rescued from this sinful way of life with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, alone. You think about it. Luther makes this confession when his benefactor, the one who was paying for him to teach at the university, the one who would have to provide him comfort and safety, had 17,443 reasons to say, "You're out of your mind, Luther." To turn him over and to give him up to be killed. Instead, he's called Frederick the Wise. He's wise not only because of the way he protected Luther, but because he came to faith. He realized that what he had put his faith in was not true, and all he needed was faith in Jesus, who suffers and dies on a cross for us, for our sins and our salvation, and rises on the third day, defeating sin, death, and the devil for all of us. This message, however, does not sit well. It does not sit well with our flesh. The old Adam wants, and in fact, the world and her preachers hate the Reformation. They hate the call to return to the Scriptures, to return to the source, ad fontes. And our text today must frustrate their plans. Just listen to what Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped." If I was writing that, of course, it would be so that you would shut your pie hole. Or your mouth's doing this and it needs to do that. "And the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." We heard a perfect illustration, an example of this 2 weeks ago, when Jesus is telling the parable, or the story of the marriage feast. And remember, the king was having a marriage feast, preparing it for his sons, and he invited the proper people, those who he intended, and they didn't want to come. They were too busy. And so he invites everybody. Thank God for that. He invites everybody. And he gives them the proper clothes to wear, because that's kind of how it worked. But then one guy shows up to the marriage feast in his own clothes, because he thought his own clothes were just fine. And then the king comes up and asks the simple question, "Friend, how did you get in here without the wedding garment?" And the text says, as Jesus says, he was speechless. This is the final effect of the law. Silence. No excuses. No blaming the devil, no blaming your spouse, no blaming your creator, only silence. Silence brought by guilt and despair, and every mouth then will be stopped. This is why it frustrates me to no end how for some people today, the church has been turned into a place to make you feel guilty. The church is not a place to make you feel guilty unless you're rejecting the forgiveness of your sins. You see, the law of God strips everyone to bare as it declares everyone guilty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means me, that means Pastor Rafa, that means all of us. Anyone who believes that they haven't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is lying to themselves, and in the biblical sense of the word is a true fool. We all must plead guilty of our sins as we give into temptation, attempts to grade our sins on a curve. You know what I mean. I didn't do it as bad as that guy did. An easy one these days is, "I only looked, he touched." Instead of grading our sin on the basis of God's clear word, The sinful nature loves feeling holier than thou. Rarely, though, are we willing to put it that blunt, that I'm better than you. Instead, what we do is we give our excuses. Well, nobody's perfect. Who am I to judge? Well, now, exactly. Well, if you're not a judge, you have the law on your side, the government law. But if you're speaking the word of God, what God's already judged, then you're not the one judging. God's already done that. It's just important to make sure that it's the word of God you're using. Or the ever popular, at least when my daughters were younger, YOLO. You know, you only live once. They abbreviate everything in text messages because it's so hard to write. K. These statements are attempts, though, to excuse our sins rather than confess our sins. And what then follows the confession of your sins is the beautiful absolution of those sins. Your sins are forgiven you, every last one of them. Even those you're thinking no one else can know about because it's too bad. Christ died for that too, because God knows all things. This is God's standard. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And if we measure ourselves by this standard, that is God's standard, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we should be trembling in our boots, horrified by our sins, and know that all lays before us is eternal damnation. The law of God offers no time off for good intentions. It is this proper understanding of God's law that drove Martin Luther to the point of despair, fearing that God was an evil prankster who requires what can't be done. As no works can make you holy before Almighty God, not praying, not fasting, not self-mutilation, not living in a monastery or nunnery, not even dedicating your life to the service of God and His church. Only one thing is needful, and that is faith in Jesus. St. Paul delivers the good news for all who have sinned, as he writes, and are justified by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This is what the Reformation is all about. It's about delivering the goods, the good news of Jesus Christ, and with Him, the free gift of our salvation. Paul declares, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." This message alone delivers our conscience from guilt, from the guilt of the law. We now confess that all mankind is saved by grace through faith on account of Christ. This doesn't get rid of the works of the law, but rather puts them in their proper place. Our good works are only good in faith in Jesus, and they merit nothing from God, or we would have something to boast about before God. But instead, our good works confess our faith to our neighbors and shows that salvation is ours through Christ Jesus alone. This is why it's important to remember the Reformation and its clarion call that we are saved by grace through the grace of God through God-given faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it was left up to one iota of our doing, we'd be damned. This is why it's important to be and remain a member of a Lutheran church. For while it is true that there are Christians in every Christian denomination because the Word of God is there, yet those denominational teachings to one level or another will rob you of the peace that passes all human understanding. because they'll add in one way or another a work. And when works are wrongly elevated, that then makes Jesus' work diminished by making salvation dependent on something I do. This is why we Lutherans are not pointed to Luther or any other pastor for that matter, but are pointed to his means of grace, God's means of grace. To the faithful hearing of God's word, to the life lived in baptism, and to the soul nourished by the rich forgiveness offered in the Lord's Supper. As we learn in our churches what the proper preface teaches, we come into God's house, and with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we kneel at this altar and we receive with Christ a foretaste as they are sent, our friends who are sainted through faith in Christ are receiving the full taste. All of this, all these deliver Jesus, you see, for our salvation. All these point us away from ourselves to him. We then, the descendants of the Reformation, must be students of the Holy Scriptures, confessors of the Book of Concord, and children of the Heavenly Father. We can receive Christ's gifts to strengthen our faith with nothing for us to add. I know that it sounds too good to be true, yet it's true. In fact, we have a guarantee. As Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, guarantees it to us, it is finished. With all this good news, I know that sometimes we still have doubts. Sometimes we worry if we are saved or not. Unlike many who will ask you to check your heart. I remember I hated that with a passion. You know, I didn't grow up Lutheran, so I hated when I was pointed in that direction, because the scriptures clearly say what come out of my heart is filth. Ask yourself, do you have God-given faith in Jesus' substitutionary death and resurrection as you confess today? Simply put, did Jesus die or didn't he? Did Jesus rise or didn't he? Did he do it for you or didn't he? Has nothing to do with me. Everything to do with him. Then I can say for certain, you are saved. Because then Jesus did it on the hill called Golgotha to crush the head of the serpent. He did it for all. As true man and true God, he knew it all. And we can be of good cheer, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So have no fear, dear friends in Christ. God-given faith has made us most definitely well. So this week, let us remember that Halloween is good for getting candy and for pretending to be something we're not. Reformation Day is for rejoicing in the person God has made us to be through faith in his only begotten Son, and for celebrating all we have been freely given by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ, our risen, ascended, and returning Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.